come onto a local government road, local government road that's not, you know, not pre-approved or gazetted, it'll come through to council for assessment. So if Blaine's got a blanket approval, they won't see it'll be pre-approved, it'll be ticked through. Miranda, if they've got a similar system or whatever, depends on whether it's pre-approved or gazetted or what, or blanket approval.
Have we got anywhere with our road at our lift?
No. I vowed personally to leave it until the new year and make another approach. Mm-hmm. So I've given, I think my last approach was March last year, April, May, somewhere around there, and I've just let it go until the start of next year. I'll make contact again and have another discussion.
In our planning, can we adjust and go back a bit earlier and come in and miss the block?
I think every way you cut across there is overland that is Crown land.
Okay.
And we looked at that earlier on as an option, and the issue we should run in, you're parallel with
The creek.
The creek.
Mm. Yeah, that's the other issue.
Yeah. You lose your road pretty quick.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, councillors, if there's no further questions on ES9, I have a recommendation there in front of you. Can I have a mover and seconder that we accept? Councillor Hutchin, Councillor White, all those in favour? Against? Carried. ES10.
ES10, Corby Street, speedy and traffic management. Now this has been raised a number of times at council, seems to, around harvest time, seems to pop its head. Been various reports presented, number of assessments and reports provided back to council for decision. What we have up there currently is what council decided previously with the various pedestrian blisters and then giving way to traffic at both the bottom and top end of town. The issues raised in, there was a number of correspondence that came through, I think it was about three or four letters that came through from the public, just in the recent fortnight, I think it was. Issues there of speeding, concerns about the 50k to speed zone. Council believe that the 50 kilometre speed zone is appropriate, but probably the biggest issue is the speeding outside of that 50 kilometre speed limit. I think through our road safety officer, we had a speeding program identify that section where we took speed cameras up there and collected data on traffic volumes and speeding, vehicle types and all that type of stuff. I think it was presented in a previous report to council. And while you got the cameras there, fine, they seem to prompt them of what speed you're doing and they slow down. When you don't have it there, that's when they start to speed up and go outside that. So that was an interesting outcome of that. Probably the biggest issue is everyone knows it's 50k zone. At every entrance you come into town is 50k. They know what the speed limit is. You can't control their behaviour apart from enforcement. Again, council's not the authority for enforcement of speeding. Police are. So we've raised concerns with the local police authority. It's up to them to survey the area, and they've indicated they'll provide greater surveillance and change people's practices. I suppose the biggest issue of the speeding there is coming down the hill, coming from the southbound traffic. When you're coming from the railway lines heading north, climbing the hill there, it's not really, you're climbing up the hill, they're not really chasing the 50Ks. Once you come down the hill from the water tower, you get the momentum up, and they're hitting Lachlan Street and coming down. So that's where we really need the stronger enforcement there when they hit the higher pedestrian area. There is, with the blisters, it does highlight the motorists that it is a pedestrian, it's a high intensity commercial area. The blisters provide that protection. There's also chevron signs there, providing that safety and highlights to the motorists of that higher activity. I suppose whether it's local traffic or it's new people to town, I think they get complacent with the area and you get a bit blind to what's there. But again, it's people's practices. I spoke about up and down the street.
I suppose the real issue is here, there is no other alternate route. So if you slow traffic down to a point of standstill, they will find another way. That's just what traffic does. And do we really want them going up a wholly residential street? And I would say no. Yes, the main street, the retail precinct, has more people in it, but people are in there and they're aware and they're savvy, as opposed to just going up a residential street where we'll have noise issues, traffic issues, safety issues. So we're going to have safety issues wherever we put the traffic, because there is only one point across our railway line. And I know that we've always asked for a second point, and that was for the ambulance to get across, all sorts of other safety issues. Until that happens, I think it is, we need to be running all our vehicles up that main street, not diverting them around into the residential areas. And therefore, safety is absolutely important to us. It's not something every decision we make and do, and the engineers do, has safety built into it. But there's repercussions to saying, well, we'll just stop every truck we've got to manage the road so that it is usable for all. To put in pedestrian crossings changes it from the pedestrian is protected, yes, but the traffic must manage the pedestrian, whereas the other way around is the pedestrian must manage the traffic. Mm-hmm. And that is a more acceptable and wary way to manage that traffic. If we put in a pedestrian crossing, it's, I think we did the numbers, it was about
10 squash yards.
14,
yeah. Yeah, there was four on this side, three in the middle, four on the other side. So you're taking up a quite considerable amount. And where do we put it? At the top, at the bottom, in the middle? We've already got those, I'll call them shared spaces in the middle, where traffic can turn, but it's differentiated, so it's a more shared space that allows people to break up that run across the main street, so that they're not having to wait for a big space, that they can break up those travel movements. We've got disabled access at the top and the bottom of the main street, because again, you got to put it somewhere. If you put it in the middle, the disabled spot has to, they have to go up the hill to get to the whatever shop and down the hill back, or down the hill and up the hill, no matter if, so even if you put it in the middle, we put it at the top because we figured you've got four points there to park, which was, I think it's 4 out of 100 parking spaces, which is 4%. I think we're required to have 2%, so we double that, and that doesn't include that you've got the disabled car parking space in the back of the plaza. So we think that the management of parking and traffic is appropriate for our main street. So in Wagga, obviously the main street, it's very pedestrian based, and the pedestrian gets right of way. There's a lot of crossings, but there is no through traffic. No one drives through that. They know when they're driving into it what they're getting. If you want to divert the main street, you go around it, but we don't have that ability. So again, the concerns seem to be around harvest time, and they seem to be about particular trucks. We think that that's an enforcement based thing, and an awareness, as Tony said, when we did those speeding statistics, as soon as we put up that your speeding slow down, it was noticeable. Clearly noticeable that there was a change in habit and management, and that's what we need to be, in my opinion, we need to be doing that first before we do anything else.
Tony, could I, as everyone knows, and probably I'm involved in harvest, and I did a little experiment the other day. I was running late, and I thought, coming in from Rannoch, and I'll just give Boothie's Lane a try. I had to get into the silos before they shut, and I reckon I cut 10 minutes off the trip by going Boothie's Lane, Rybush Lane, and down through McNabb's Lane and coming out on the northern side of the railway line. And it alleviated coming down through town, not speeding, taking my time, and never speed down the main street, I'll guarantee you that. Bigger trucks look like they're speeding, some of them possibly are, but it's my place to know. No, it's a no-no. 50 k's even out on the Gannon Road. But I thought that with Chamberlain's Lane being developed as a ring road, maybe something could be looked at in the future, diverting truck traffic to Emerald via Berthers Lane, Rybush Lane, and come out on the northern side of railway line. The same could be said from trucks coming in on the Ardlethan Road. There could be a road that could link the Ardlethan, say for argument's sake, Carlisle Park Road onto the Rannoch Road and come out Hawthorne's Lane there somewhere.
Yeah, that's all plugged into our system of where do you want to move vehicles, but at the end of the day we still have the receival point here. So if it's going to Emerald, you're right,
yeah,
you can do that, yeah. But if it's coming to that one, we've still got to provide that.
Yeah, but you're going to cut the amount of trucks going down the main street. And if you're coming off the Rannoch Road, you can turn off Lewis Street north and come down that way anyway.
Yeah, well, some of these are we're trying not to encourage people to do, because that's actually defeating why we're having a road. We don't want to have 10 road options that are going through residential areas. We're trying to have one.
Concern is to try and get truck traffic coming down the main street, and I've just offered an alternative that could be looked at in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I also think of Tamora, because they don't have a bypass. And they have numerous crossing points in their main street. And how many times you see someone just cruise on across that zebra crossing at Tamora.
Bulletproof, aren't they?
And you've got, you know, well, a lot of all their semis are just going through there, and people just walk straight across there, and they've got heaps of like slow down barriers because they just can't walk out. But
If you've got a truck coming down, heading down the street, and someone just walks out in front of them,
they can't stop.
You know, even if they're doing the speed at 50 k's, the chance of them pulling up a fully loaded truck going to grain, it's...
Yeah, or even cattle, whatever, they're fully loaded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
What I also love the main street the most is a lot of vehicles are travelling on the inside lane, where you're parking, instead of on a...
I went and had a look at that, because if you do that heading south, if you do that, it already happens heading south. When you get to the, as it turns into two lane, the first one says you have to turn right. So anyone traveling through already makes that, or should make that movement out there. The only people that I see that don't are the locals who go, no, but I'm just going to go and park in here anyway. So they're already knowing if the rest do that. If I come up from the south heading north, I run into trouble, because if I do the same thing and I put a left-hand turn at the post office, and so everyone goes into there, I'm funneling him into half the people who are going to go right down to the IGA and stopping them, and I'm creating a problem where the reality is I've come from the roundabout, I've crossed a rail crossing, I'm not doing that fast anyway. I should be able to pick each lane, because I'm not flying, I'm not coming from the top downhill. So to me, we've already got the southern way doing it. I don't know if there's a benefit doing it heading north.
I meant more lines or a sign or something to stay on the park side when you're going straight through. But there's a lot of people do travel on the left hand side.
Yeah.
And I think that causes bigger concern. Someone's trying to back out or a kid's walking across. It's more safer. That's all I know.
Dave, that speed board idea that you put in once before, that seemed to work exceptionally well. I know you've got that in the recommendation.
After we did that speed zone trial, I made inquiries with Transport New South Wales to provide a permanent speed reader there and so on. They said they wouldn't provide funding for something that's permanent. If you had it on trails, you could use it, but that's not probably what we're after. I've got some costing on getting a permanent sign there. So I'll include that in next year's budget to be incorporated there, about 10 grand each. Not cheap. You can get additions for them, so they've got a camera and you can download data from it, get all your, basically the same data we got last time, was your traffic counts, your speed vehicles.
That's a permanent one.
That's the cost of a permanent
one. The portable one's more expensive.
They're probably about the same dollars, to be honest.
Because I was thinking, what a great idea, because even the traffic, say, through Gan Main, once a year for a month, have it down at Gan Main.
We've got that one in the trail you see at the front of the business park. Yeah. We've had that up there, so that's one we kind of share with tomorrow. But we put that up.
So we're back to 50 k's all along now, aren't we?
50 k's, yeah.
I would have thought, the only thing I see coming up there now at the moment, we've got off another subject, but the old right rides are cracking down. If you're coming up in the afternoon, the sun's shining.
That's right.
Probably won't change until that road gets resealed. Well, we can redo the line marks and make it more obvious once we've sealed the back of the curb.
The sun shines on it and there's two lights on the lines.
That's why you come down from Margaret 2 o'clock in the morning.
Back to the speed camera. I would have thought there's more benefit in a mobile one than a permanent one, because we could take it to different areas in the Shire than we have these issues with. Especially if the costing is similar. That obviously permanent there. But I feel if it was permanent, people ignore things after a while anyway. They just become part of the furniture and it sort of becomes not so useful. Whereas if we had one, I know we have one here, but one, if we're going to spend that sort of money.
The issue, I suppose,
because Marvel has the same issue coming into town, and I guess Gammain, every town would have the same
issue. I suppose the issue I see is, like, we do this speed program every year, we pick a different location. Boy, it's got the sign up there, it works. As soon as you take it away, how's your driver behaviour change? You think, it's not prompting you to tell you that you're going out of speed. So that, hence why I'm thinking of having a permanent one there, because as soon as it's gone, they'll go back to their old practices.
That's the same issue of if it's there forever and you start ignoring it.
Yeah, but if you've got a camera in there and you're taking photos and get number plates, you pass it to the police, they get a repeat offenders.
We can't put a little sign there, camera.
just to make a comment, when you're talking about pedestrian crossings and things and putting one down the main street, which I don't agree with on a down slope with trucks and things coming through town here, but then you get a lot of complaints, because if you pull a truck up where we come from out of the night's red paddock and things, and once you stop, no mention, then you'll have the complaints about all these strips and all the dirt's fallen off, and there is a lot of dirt comes off trucks when they're pulled up after coming out.
And the noise of braking. Even getting back to trucks not stopping, even if they are stopping, the visibility is not so good then for pedestrians, so I think it's better just to